Google plans to buy Fitbit. I don't know if you saw last year, but Google revealed its plans to buy the fitness tracker Fitbit in November 2019. Now, do you have a Fitbit? If you do, you'll be aware that it collects some pretty personal data. Things like your sleep patterns, physical stats, a log of what you're eating, as well as contact and location information. Now, what would it mean if Google added all this personal data to its already extensive tracking of consumer behaviours? The proposal does have to pass regulators first, and the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, the ACCC, has expressed concerns about what it could mean for our data. I'm joined by Dr. Catherine Kemp, who is a senior lecturer in the Faculty of Law at the University of New South Wales. And Dr. Kemp has just written an article about this issue. Hello, Catherine. It's great to have you with us. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Good to be with you.
Now, what do you see as the biggest concerns with Google's plan to acquire Fitbit?
From my point of view as a privacy lawyer and a competition lawyer, I actually think the privacy concerns are the biggest concerns here, because we know that Google already has an unequaled collection of consumer data globally and that it builds unique data profiles on individuals. It's got extensive sources of data from its various services, including our location and, in many cases, email and what we search on the internet and so forth. And now it would be able to add to this information, this health information, which can be very sensitive, and years' worth of Fitbit data. So those privacy concerns are very real. And at the moment, the ACCC is also looking at this from a competition perspective, to understand how Google might use this data to its advantage in markets like the market for health services and certain advertising technology, online advertising, to give it a big advantage over rivals in those markets.
Yeah, it makes me think that if we ever see Google health insurance, like, we're all stuffed, right? Because there's no, there is no hiding of anything there. Not that you want to hide anything in your health insurance, but you know, it's going to know the ins and outs of our workings.
There are concerns. There are predictions that Google will move into health insurance and life insurance in future. And while you say there quite rightly that you don't try and hide things when you're filling out your questionnaires when you're getting insurance, we don't want either situations where people are excluded from receiving insurance and avoided on the basis of information which is particularly predictive information, which is just taking a guess at conditions they might have a tendency towards, when there's no actual evidence to say that they are going to get that condition or have a real propensity.
Yeah. And you mentioned that ACCC is looking over the merger and they have some concerns. Are there other regulators around the world that are looking into this and are worried?
Yes. So from a competition perspective in the European Union, the European Commission is currently looking at this merger. And we'll know by July whether they have issues with it and are going to investigate it further. And also the US Department of Justice is looking into this and looking into what this aggregation of personal data could mean for Google.
Now, Fitbits are pretty popular. Do you have any estimates of how many people worldwide the merger would impact?
I know there are over 28 million people using Fitbit wearable devices at the moment, and that they use them in a variety of ways that collect varying degrees of sensitive data. So for many people, that's their sleep patterns and their active minutes, their precise location. Some women also use the female health tracking, which can get far more personal in looking at your periods, fertile times,
yes.
And even your birth control method, that you actually enter that in so that it can be then tracking what effect your birth control method has.
It's kind of like we're outsourcing life.
I don't think people always realise the full implications of handing over that kind of personal data. I think that a lot of people react by saying, I have nothing to hide. You very often hear that. And they assume that they understand what their data actually means. And there's a couple of problems with that. One is that your data might look harmless now and might look really boring, but reveal things that could disadvantage you in the future. For instance, Microsoft has joined with researchers who've been able to examine your scrolling and clicking patterns to work out whether you are developing Parkinson's disease. So you would have no concept that you might have a tendency to this disease, and they will know well in advance that you have that tendency. And that could have implications for your future employment and insurance and the like, which you won't be able to appreciate at this stage.
Yeah, right. Oh my God, there's so much to think about, isn't there? Mm. What precedents can we look to with regards to Google's prior acquisitions and data usage and privacy?
Yeah, this is a bit concerning. We know that the tech giants, so to speak, Facebook and Google and Amazon, Microsoft for that matter, have a history of acquiring smaller firms to use their data and to go on collecting data through those firms. And they will often make promises about, you know, that they're not going to combine those data sets afterwards, so there's no worry. And, for example, Google did that back when it bought DoubleClick years ago and said, we won't combine these data sets unless people expressly opt in. And then years later, it just removed that promise from its privacy terms and changed its mind. And so when we get reassurances now about what companies won't do in future, you really should take that with a grain of salt, because a number of them have got form for changing their minds later and just without needing any agreement on our part, changing the rules.
Wow, it's definitely given a lot of people a lot to think about, I would say. One thing that comes up for me is, what is to stop, say, Google setting up some other little shell company and just saying, okay, well, if it doesn't get approved, Google's not buying it, but then this other company called, I don't know, Gaggle is buying it, and then it actually just feeds the information to Google.
and in that case, we do look at who owns various companies and therefore the control that companies exercise over each other. And so you couldn't get around merger regulation in Australia or elsewhere where by simply saying, we're going to set up a smaller company and we'll have control of the company, but it's not us, because that
there's laws and regulations in place. Okay.
Yes, is part of merger assessment. One of the things that you tend to see these companies saying is that we never sell your data. You will have seen that in a lot of the front of their privacy policies or the declarations they make. But that's actually a really disingenuous thing to say. One of the reasons is that they often do exactly that. They sell your data as part of a sale of a whole business. And in other cases, they don't need to sell your personal data to use it for their commercial purposes and against your interests, because they can sell insights and they can sell access to you for targeted advertising, as Google and Facebook do, without ever handing over the personal information to other firms. But it can still be used to your disadvantage, even without that sale occurring.
Oh my God, Dr. Catherine Kemp, we've run out of time, but I feel like we could go down a rabbit's hole of continuing to talk about this, because as you speak more, I think of more and more instances where I would not want my information in the hands of someone like that. So thank you so much for your time this morning and your insights. We really appreciate it.
Great to be with you.